This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Chua Eun Teck. Tom Bauer is an award-winning and best-selling author of 20 books, including biographies of Bernie Eccleston, Gordon Brown, and Simon Cowell. He joins us over the phone to talk about his most recent book on Sir Richard Branson, which is titled Branson, Behind the Mask. This is your second book on Branson, the first of which was published in 2000. What drew your attention to Richard Branson initially?
Well, he posed as was one of the most famous and most popular British businessmen in the world, and one of the most successful. And he said that he was the most honest businessman as well. And I thought, well, anyone who claims to be so honest should actually be investigated. And so I did, and discovered that in the course of his amazing career, he'd done some things which were not exactly pristine clean.
So the premise of this book is that Richard Branson's public image is largely a smokescreen of sorts, a mask. So what are the discrepancies in his public narrative?
Well, I mean, it would make a distinction. What happened was, in 1999, when I wrote the first book, he had won a succession of libel actions against British Airways and against the creator of the lottery, and suggesting that he was the most honest bearer of truth in Britain and a very straightforward businessman who brought lots of benefits to lots of people. And what I discovered was that he had cut quite a few corners on the way up from his slippery pole and wasn't paying taxes in Britain and wasn't exactly loved by many people who were his victims on his way to his great fortune. Then what happened was the book came out, and actually soon after, the British government had given him the rights to the British National Lottery, which had earned him a huge amount of money, billions of dollars. And as a result of my book, they took it away from him. And then I was convinced at that stage that his fortunes were going to decline very fast. But I was wrong about that, because he bought into and developed a telephone system, Virgin Mobile, and he invested around about 20 to 30 million pounds sterling in it, and earned well over 1 billion pounds sterling from it. And that saved his business, and he did very well out of that. Well, if you fast forward more than 10 years, so in about 2012, I just thought that his rocket, the Virgin Galactic rocket, and many of the things he had done in the last previous 10 years since I finished my first book had gone sour. The business was certainly no longer as viable, and yet he was still held as an amazing example of terrific businessman, as an iconic Englishman, and a man who thousands of young aspiring entrepreneurs across the world,
What do you think,
America to China, wanted to emulate, to copy. And I thought I'd see what sort of business he'd been running in that previous decade.
Why do you think this is so? Why does the public have such a favorable view of his persona?
Well, he is a genius at public relations. He is a genius at presentation of himself as a maverick, wacky, fun-loving, party-going, music-loving person who is not orthodox and who makes business seem very easy or very difficult. But he has written a succession of books telling people how to make a fortune like him. And so young people looking for a model think Richard Branson is the sort of person they would like to follow.
And you say these stunts, is him making up for the fact that he can't afford a PR team?
Well, he has a brilliant PR team, and he has brilliant gimmicks. And he is very good at positioning himself in areas and businesses which attract a lot of sympathy, whether it's the environmental campaign or whether it's the airline, transport, energy. He just presents himself as the global savior, and he is a person who people should respect to follow. That's what he would like people to believe. And I have tried to puncture that myth.
Anti-corporation and anti-establishment sentiments are quite pervasive now after the global financial crisis. Do you think people still see business or corporate titans as inspirational figures?
Well, I think there are some. It's a difficult time, but you've got to make a distinction between somebody who invents some astonishing game, a computer game, or invents a fabulous car or plane, and someone who's a banker. I mean, there's a big difference in that. The bankers are hated, but I think businessmen who create great wealth and with great ideas, they're still highly regarded. And the whole problem with Branson is he hasn't created anything for a long, long time.
What are some examples of his spectacular failures?
Well, at the moment, I think his rocket is a huge failing. I mean, there you've got an investment of, I would have thought, nearing $1 billion.
This is Virgin Galactic,
dollars. And it was meant to have taken off in 2007, and it still hasn't. And he is now pledged, because of my book, to fly with his children in September into space. And the rocket hasn't flown since last January because it is just so flawed. And I just don't think he can do it. Now, it wouldn't matter except for two things. First of all, the Virgin image depends on the success of that rocket. And secondly, he has taken $80 million in deposits from a lot of very, very famous people, including Tom Hanks and Justin Bieber and other Hollywood stars, all of whom have paid $250,000 to fly on that rocket. And I don't think he can either take them into space, nor do I think he can repay the money easily. And that's where I think is going to be the beginning of his problems.
So you name a lot of businesses that didn't go well, that made a lot of losses. Which businesses are then in the Virgin Empire subsidizing all these failed ventures?
Well, the failed ventures, besides the rocket, is undoubtedly Virgin Atlantic, the airline, which has lost consistently over $100 million every year since 2009. Virgin Australia is losing money now too. His investments in ethanol and other green energy supplies have lost him at least $500 million, probably more. So I think he has only had a consistent stream of losses over the last decade, and those losses have been paid for by firstly the success of, as I said, Virgin Mobile in Britain. That made a lot of money, and the creation of Virgin Blue, which became Virgin Australia, an airline in Australia, which at the beginning made him a huge amount of money, but has subsequently lost money. But other than that, I think that he's run out of money. I think that is part of the myth, that he's this billionaire with about $5 billion of assets. I just don't believe it.
In your estimation, how much is he worth currently?
Well, I think way, way below $1 billion, because the airline is only worth the slots at Heathrow Airport in London, and all the other businesses are indebted. And that's the whole problem with someone like Branson. You could never really tell how much they're worth, because all his assets are hidden. The value is hidden offshore in the Cayman Islands or in Switzerland, quite deliberately, so you don't find out the truth. And he is enormously aggressive if I challenge, other people challenge, his worth, because that is what keeps him afloat. The idea that he's worth so much money and people should lend him or trust him. If he didn't have so much money, or if the truth came out, he would be embarrassed. And so he can maintain that he's very rich, but we can never really find out the truth.
What are some of his tax avoidance strategies?
Well, ever since he went into the music business as a very young man at about 20, 21, he's built his corporations offshore. In the beginning, he was offshore in what are called the Channel Islands. They're small islands in the English Channel off Britain, which had an offshore status. And then he bought himself an island in the Virgin Islands called Necker in the Caribbean. And in Necker, he has built himself a very effective tax exile, because that's where he lives as well. And then he also set up businesses in Switzerland to avoid taxes in Britain. And that tax avoidance, which is quite legal, has served him very well because he hates paying taxes. I should have said that very early on in life, before he was even 20, he'd been caught in Britain in a huge operation mounted by the revenue department here, discovered that he'd for 18 months been evading taxes on records that he was selling and had to pay a huge fine to avoid going to prison. And that settled him in his view that he had to be very careful but very skillful in avoiding taxes quite legally, and he's done that very well.
You've been listening to best-selling author and journalist Tom Bauer. Coming up, more about Tom's writing process. BFM 89.9.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm speaking today to author and journalist Tom Bauer about his latest book, Branson Behind the Mask. You've written many, many books covering many personalities, but this is your second book volume on Richard Branson, and your first one was published in 2000, and you have since updated and re-released the first volume in 2008. Why was it so important for you that the public know about Richard Branson?
Well, because I do think that British business, and to some extent world business, is damaged by the worship of Branson and the Virgin brand. I think that Apple or perhaps Samsung, Sony, I mean, there are so many brands which actually are very inventive and iconic and always develop great new ideas and are self-generating. But the Virgin brand is actually, in my view, declining and is really very poor. And I tried to explain to my readers and to young people especially that the path to make a lot of money and be a great success is not the Branson path. Well, in particular, there's one chapter in the new book called The Virgin Crime, and that's all about a cartel between Virgin Atlantic, the airline, and British Airways, the British airline, to fix prices. Now, it's a rather complicated story, and I won't go into the detail here, but it's a fascinating story. But it was an example of where Branson heaps the blame on others and causes misery to others who are in the end discovered to be innocent. And I think one of the key things about writing about people like Branson, which I've found, is I've never talked to Branson. I don't need to. I've just spoken to people who have been his victims, people who are angry with him, either former employees or former business partners, people in banks and in law firms who have not seen the nice side of this smiley character. And I just feel that one's got to puncture the legend. He is not a saint, and that's the point.
But isn't that true as well with other successful business person? How do you verify the credibility of your sources when they have a vested interest in speaking against this man?
Well, I verify it by going through the facts very carefully. And of course, I discard some which may not be true or are unprovable. But on the whole, I have found most people, once you really get into the detail, are pretty honest. I mean, the one thing, for example, there's another chapter in the new book about a magazine which is started, financed by Virgin. A lot of people put a lot of work and their own money into it, and they all lost. And, you know, there's something pretty poignant and influential when you see a grown man begin to cry real tears because he invested all his money, mortgaged his home, and his wife mortgaged all her assets to invest in the magazine because they believed in Branson and Virgin. And then they lost it all. And they lost it because they trusted Virgin. And that in the end, is a pretty conclusive evidence. And, of course, I published it, and he never complained about that part of the book because it's true. And, I mean, you don't find most businessmen really are not that ruthless. They're not that. They don't cause that number of misery. And if they do, then obviously they haven't done the best things for the people with whom they've cooperated or collaborated.
Your account of Bernie Ecclestone has been portrayed him as pretty ruthless as well.
Yes, I think that's true. And he was very ruthless, and he is, and he made a huge fortune out of it. But Bernie Ecclestone never asked the public to invest in his business in the same way. And what was interesting about the victims of Bernie Eccleston was that they all were complaining that they had only made $200 or $300 million, whereas Bernie Eccleston had made $5 billion US. So they were just complaining he didn't share the riches. The other people who complained were people who bought cars from him. But, you know, if you buy a car from a car dealer, you always know you've got to be careful. I didn't find that he'd committed any great sins, and he never presented himself in the same way as Branson does. And that's a very interesting point, because in the new book, Behind the Mask, there's a whole chapter about Virgin going into the Formula One business, and Branson promised all sorts of things to his partners and never delivered. They didn't get the money or anything, and he just took what he wanted out of it, which is a classic complaint about Branson's partners. Whereas with Eccleston, everyone has done well out of Eccleston. He has made a lot of people very, very rich. And he's been ruthless, and he's undoubtedly cut corners. But I didn't discover that he'd committed the crime, although, to be fair, he is now on trial in Germany for having paid a huge bribe. But we'll see what the outcome of that is.
Tell us about your writing process and what goes into your research. Do you normally seek the cooperation of your book subjects?
No, I never seek the cooperation because I think the moment you begin to seek cooperation on the whole with these rich people, they then want to control what you write. And so I've developed a technique of writing unauthorized biographies, and if people want to talk to me, fine. But if they don't, I'm more than happy to carry on. I don't need their help because, as I say, I look for the people, the victims, the people who are not happy, and the others who have observed them, and there's normally enough material. You see, I write about people not just because they're rich, but because they want to influence society. I'm looking for people who use their wealth, which they've created with a touch of genius, usually, obviously some ruthlessness, but also great skill. But they then use that wealth to be able to change and the way that we think about the world. I mean, Branson does that all the time. Eccleston just doesn't seek to change the world, but he influences an enormous sport. Other people I've written about, like Gordon Brown, our former Prime Minister, who was portrayed by me as a monster at a time when he was still regarded as a hero in Britain, that surprised a lot of people. But in the end, because I spoke to people who knew him very well and had been injured by him, proved to be the truth. I mean, it is a matter of, I'm attracted to write about people who, on the whole, think of are supreme egoists. They think only of their own interests and not of the interests of mankind, yet always talk about as if they are the people to help the global community, but invariably it's just to help themselves. And very often they're not very nice people and usually not quite honest as they would like to portray themselves.
Having said that, what has Branson done right in your eyes? Surely he has some redeeming qualities.
Yes, I do think that the creation of his music business was undoubtedly an amazing success. He was highly rewarded for it. I think the creation of Virgin Atlantic Airways was a great success. But you see, in both those cases, he claims that all the ideas, all the work was done by him. And yet it wasn't. It was the ideas invariably were other people's ideas. The work was usually done by other people. And then he cuts them out of the profits. And that is why they then come and tell me the real story, because they're angry. And I do think what's very interesting is comparing that sort of meanness with other people who are generous about sharing the benefits. And you have that most businessmen are pretty generous and share the profits out because they want to keep people on the whole happy. Branson is one of those who didn't. Now, if you take, for example, another person I wrote about, I don't know if your audience is aware of a man called Robert Maxwell. He was a very domineering businessman in Britain, a big newspaper owner and politician, everything, and was a total crook. But he was often generous to people. He gave a lot to charity. He did help people. But he bullied people. He was a monster. But people, on the whole, loved him. Many people did because he was nice to them. And I think that is the issue. So I think what Branson did in redeeming, he did have and created, gave a great atmosphere for people who want to work with him because he knew how to party and he liked to have a good time. But when it came to the division of the profits, many of them, most of them found they were cut out. And then they were cut out of the story as well as the success. And that's why they got angry. So I do think in that climb up the pole, you've got to be nice to the people you're doing it with at the end. You've got to share the benefits.
Tom, you've now developed a sort of a brand of a expose type of books. What projects are you working on now?
I'm now writing the story of the Tony Blair government. Tony Blair, as you know, was our Prime Minister for 10 years. He led us into the Iraq War. When he came into office in 1997, he had a 93% approval rating. Now his approval rating is probably less than 10%, and he's considered toxic. And that is a remarkable story about a man who had so much and offered so much, and yet is now so loathed, in Britain at least, not in America, but definitely here. And it's not just about the Iraq War, but we had had the Great Recession in 2008. London really plummeted. He changed the nature of Britain by bringing in millions and millions of immigrants who, it was no discussion about it, which annoyed especially the sort of the poorer people in Britain. He damaged the schools. I mean, it is a story of a man whose image was just saintly and glowing and brilliant and had a remarkable ability to communicate. But no one just knows why it went wrong. And so I'm doing that story, why it went wrong.
Looking forward to that. Thank you for taking the time.
Pleasure.
That was Tom Bauer, and the book is Branson Behind the Mask, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.